Block Mishpacha, the Yilui Nishma Simcha Ben Svi, Al Felmi Shemli Simcha Nachas and Bracha. Say this. Let's begin Perek Gimel. We're going to be learning some Lashonis from Rabbi Nachman. And throughout the Sefer, we're going to be coming back to some of these Lashonis, and he's going to be explaining these Lashonis. Page, that's Perek Gimel. So, I know it's Ayin Aleph, some other Svar. It's different. Perek Gimel. The Perek. It's called Milas Ahizbardus. Milkut Maran Tinyona Tarakuf Kosev Rabbeinu B'Zeh L'Shonai. So Rabbi Nachman teaches us in Tarakuf in Tinyona, Sipruli Sha'amar Shemikotn Vagodl Iev Shalio Is Ish Kosev Be'emes. Rabbi Nachman said, Nosson is saying that he was told that Rabbi Nachman had said, Shemikotn Vagodl that from a child, from the smallest person to the greatest person. I don't know if kot means a child, or if kot means a simple person, vaad gadol, to the greatest person. One cannot truly be an ish kosher, a kosher Jew, a Jew that's living a life whereas Yiddishkeit is who he is, kim al yidei his bardus, without his bardus. Vayamaske kama v'kama tzaddikim, and Rabbi Nachman mentioned the number of tzaddikim, mefusamim, amitim, well-known, great tzaddikim, true tzaddikim. Vameshukulam loybolu madregosam, Rabbi Nachman said, that all of these great tzaddikim did not reach their madregas, kim al yidei his bardus, only through his bardus. Of course, their learning and their mitzvahs and everything they did, but they could not have come to that highest madrega without his bardus. The gam tofas ish echad poshet michta abal shemtev, zichar levracha. And Rabbi Nachman grabbed some enikel of the Baal Shem Tov, a simple Jew who was a grandson or a descendant of the Baal Shem Tov. V'amar gam ze mefaris yichosav v'chol pam lefnei Hashem, as Rabbi B'chi Gadol, that this person, even though he seems to be just an ish pashit, an ish cotton, a simple, plain person, you should know that he cries his heart out before Hashem. He speaks to Hashem. V'amar says, Zera b'al shem tov v'gilim b'zeh b'yaisa. And then Rabbi Nachman said that this is something which is very common by the descendants of the Baal Shem Tov. The descendants of Baal Shem Tov have this natural inclination to speak to Hashem in such a way as Bardus and to cry to Hashem and so on. Because the Baal Shem Tov is from David HaMelech. And David HaMelech is v'chol isko shel David, and the whole esek of David in this world, the whole inyan of David HaMelech was hayinyan ze, to speak to Hashem. Shoyim mishaber libo ma'od lefnei Hashem es baruch tam. That David HaMelech was constantly breaking his heart. Constantly he was breaking his heart. He would speak to Hashem from a broken heart. That's the ikka of the whole Sefer Tehillim. This Torah is one of the main places in Lekut Amaran where Rabbi Nachman speaks about his bardus. Again, throughout the Sefer, we're going to be coming back to these Torahs and learning them in different ways to understand. So there in Tinyon Chafei, Rabbi Nachman writes, "Hayas bardus umayla el yon of gedoy lemen hakol." His bardus is a mayla that is greater than everything else. Da'im l'gvolo al kol ponim sha'a yoyser, to set aside an hour or more. His bardus levado be'ezah cheder b'sada, to be alone in some room or in the field, and to speak very clearly, and to explain himself, to go into details, with Hashem, if he has tainus against other people, if he has tainus kivyoch with Hashem, or things that he wants to explain, to talk about himself, in a way of speaking to Hashem, in a way of chen. Again, what that means exactly, chen. How does one speak in the way of chen? Shulna v'chein. But the reason that they're so v'chein is because they're not trying to be. How can a person try to speak with chen? We'll talk a lot about that. What does that mean with chen? The simple pshat in the chen is from the lashon of chinam. It means when a person, like Moshe Rabbeinu, when he v'eschar al Hashem, means Moshe Rabbeinu didn't expect anything. Chen comes from that tumimus of believing that nothing is coming to me in a way of bittul. Pashtus and that chen, but the pasuk says la novim yitain chen. People are humble; they have a natural chen. There's no translation for the word chen. There's no good word in English for that chen. But anovim, when you meet a child, you see the chen of a child. You see a person who's an anov, who's humble. There's a chen. Chen, from that word chinam, means kupnish to me. Nothing is coming to me. Nothing is coming to me. When the speak to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Menachem says in a way, but they're chen, the ritzui, to appease, to try to make up with, who appeals, to reconcile, to be mafayas, and to apologize, to speak in a way of humility, of humility. The first time look at the Maran is all about chen. Let's understand what that inyan of a chen of Rabbi Nachman explains over there, the whole inyan of chen, what it is. Levakesh l'schanein melefanav yisbarach, to ask and to beg Hashem, sheyakavo elav, to bring one closer, lavadoso be'emes, to serve Hashem be'emes. Rabbi Nachman is very emphatic about this, that one should, this is Barada, should take place in the language that he speaks, that he's most comfortable with, in his mother tongue. Where they came from in Yiddish. Because even a person who knows Lashon HaKodesh, but it's not his native tongue, it's hard to speak in a way that's completely genuine and sincere and real. It's hard. V'gam ein halev nimshach achar hadibur. And when you're speaking a language that's not your first language, gam ein halev nimshach achar hadibur, the heart is not carried by one's second language or third language. But the language doesn't carry the heart. What carries the heart is when a person speaks in his mamalash, in the language that his mother, that his parents spoke, in the language that's his native tongue. That is what speaks to the heart. So even though, of course, there are tremendous ma'ilas to Lashon HaKodesh, but here the main point is not fluency or to impress, or to articulate in any kind of a fancy way. Dafke, in the simplest way, in the language that is most natural to the person. Because the heart is drawn after such diburim. And it's not drawn after diburim that are contrived, that you have to try to figure out and to think of and to calculate and to plan. Because outside of Eretz Yisrael, we're not so used to Lashon HaKodesh. Because we're not used to speaking in Lashon HaKodesh, in Hebrew. However, Lashon Ashkenaz, however, in Yiddish, this is the language that we speak, and we tell stories, and we speak, and we have conversations in Yiddish. That's how we talk. Kal v'kar of yoyser l'shaber libo. It's much easier for the person to come to a tzibrach in a heart, a broken heart. To be very sincere. Because when you're speaking a language that's not your language, you're trying to think of how you're saying it. You're not communicating in a pure way. You're trying to figure out your next word. So it's really not something that's pure. The heart is closest to that. And my father, the last 6-7 weeks before he was nifter, He was talking Yiddish. It didn't make a difference. He spoke to them first. The aide, he spoke in Yiddish, who wasn't Jewish. He just was talking to everybody in Yiddish. That was it. And when you spoke to him in English, when you would talk to him, it's ki'ilu, he didn't hear English anymore. It was like he was listening to somebody talking to him in Yiddish. Even anybody that spoke to him, he was talking in Yiddish. He didn't have the strength anymore. Okay, there's a story that I've told you many times over the years that it once happened that David Ben-Gurion was walking with Eliezer Ben-Yehuda. Neither of these were Shavuot Mitzvahs, as you know. And both of them were talking, of course, in Hebrew. Eliezer Ben-Yehuda is the father of modern Hebrew. He hated Yiddish. That was his mamalashon, but he hated Yiddish. His whole thing in the world was the dictionary and the Ivrit, and that was his whole thing. So one time, Ben-Gurion and Ben-Yehuda were walking someplace, and it was a chamsin. It was very, very hot. And Ben-Gurion was talking to Ben-Yehuda in Yiddish. And Ben-Yehuda was very upset, and he said, "Ech kvodom adaber b'lashonav, how does your honor speak in that disgusting language?" And Ben-Gurion just said, "Leiza tut mi a toivis, su heist." Do I have to translate that? Just do me a favor, I'm too hot. It's just too hot for me to try this. You know, this Hebrew thing is great, but come on, you know? I'm pretending, you're pretending. Can we just talk straight like, you know? It's too haste. It's too hot to talk in Hebrew. It's a very sweet story. And it's exactly what Rabbi Nachman is saying, is that it's too haste. You know, when it comes down to it, you talk your language. It's the language of your mother, it's the language of your heart, and that's how you speak. And try to make something up and to think of words to say. That's your language. And therefore you could explain exactly what's on your mind, what you want to talk about. You don't have to search for words. When you're talking in your language, he's talking about in Yiddish because that's what they spoke. You could explain the first kol sichasa. Anything that you want to talk about, you could talk about in the way that you want to talk, the way that you're used to talking. Whether you're talking about things that you regret from the past, or if you want to talk about how could I get close to you from this day and on, how do I get closer to you? Each person according to his madrega. And one should be very, very careful to try to be consistent every single day to spend, when he says a shor miyuchedes, an hour, to have a designated hour. Again, the tzaddikim through the generations have said that even if one can't, and we'll see much more about that, that even if it's not an hour, the ikur is it should be consistent. It should be consistent. Shom yuchedes kanal v'shar hayom ye besimcha kanal. And the rest of the day you'll be besimcha, and not to talk necessarily about these kind of things if we're in yonim of tshuva and so on. The rest of the day besimcha. And living this way of life, is, the b'mayla is very, very great. And it's an eitzah tova, how to get close to Hashem. Kizosi eitzah klolus shekolol hakol. This eitzah of his brothers is an eitzah that has in it all the other eitzahs that have been brought down, and all the different sram of ways of getting close to Hashem. This eitzah of his brothers is an eitzah kerlelis. All the other eitzahs that are in all the sram, from Chazal and all the sram, are all in this eitzah of his brothers. Kyalkol mashi yechzalei b'avodas Hashem. Whatever it is in your avodas Hashem that you're lacking in, if you're mamish in a very bad place and you're far, far away from Hashem, the ikur is talk to Hashem about what's going on in your life. Explain, talk. And ask and beg Hashem. And even if sometimes you can't talk, and you can't open your mouth at all to speak to Hashem, we spoke about this a little bit last time. This itself is very good. The fact that you have had a certain time that you set aside, and you went into that quiet place, and you put your phone someplace, and you turned off everything else, and you went to that place, and you sat there to be alone in such a way. Rabbi Nachman says, "Ze ba'atzmo tov ma'od." That itself is already very good. The very fact that you did this, that you went away from everything, and you sat to be with Hashem, shemuchan va'omid lefanav yisbarach, this itself, the chafetz u'mishtoikek ladaber, and you have a very strong chafetz, a longing u'mishtoikek ladaber, and you want to talk, you want to talk. This itself is very chashev. Ach sheni yochel. Even though you don't know how to at the time, you just can't say anything. Zeba atzmo gam kein toiv ma'od. This is also very good. Gam yuchal azus leisichu tefilim zeba atzmo. And if you find that you can't open your mouth, you have nothing to say, or you don't know what to say or how to say it, then Rabbi Nachman says, Adrabba, make from that a tefillah. Now you have what to say. Talk about how you can't talk. Talk about how you're having such a problem. You feel awkward. You feel uncomfortable. This is so strange. I don't know how to talk to you. I've never done this before. Make a sikh, make a conversation out of this. I was talking, there was a girl that she went on a date, and I asked her, she's been having a hard time with the dating, and I asked her, no, how did it go? So she said, it was very awkward. We didn't have I don't know what to talk about. So I said, just talk about vaccinations and stuff. How could it be that in COVID, nobody has what to talk about now? Just like, yes, were you vaccinated? And then, you start talking about other things. Just go right there, Nowadays, there shouldn't be any problem. You're against, you're for. And, you can see, right away, you have what to talk about. There's no reason, there's no excuse not to have what to talk about on a date. Yeah. And this itself, not to worry about whether you have this subject or that subject, to talk about Hashem, how it hurts me that I've lost a sprach with you. I've lost a way to speak to you. I don't know. I've become too smart. I've become too sophisticated. I don't know how to daven anymore. I got stuck in other people's words, and I don't have my own. There are many, many things a person could. And if it's hard for you to even talk, then you can start writing down things. You write down, and then you read from what you've written. Al zebatz me yitzak bishan fan yisbo. Shne shrache kol kach, that Rebbe Shlom, I'm so far from you. I'm so far from you, I can't even talk to you. I don't even have to speak to you, to ask you in a way of rachm tachanunim. But you ask Hashem, and you cry out to Him. Shiyachm alav. V'yivakish mito, you should beg Hashem with rachm tachanunim. Shiyachm alav, they should have rachmanis on you. V'yivtach piv. Every time when we start Shemoneh Esrei, we say just those few words, Hashem Sfasai Tiftach. Hashem, open my lips. V'fi yagiti lasach. This is taking that and expanding that. Hashem Sfasai Tiftach. I can't to open my lips. Shiyachlo Yiftach Piv. Shiyuchlo Faris Yichos Lofanat. To be able to say what's on my heart and in my mind. To open up. Vida, Shekama Vakama Tzadikim Gedolma for some Mesipru. Renachim says you should know. There's some great Tzadikim that said, Shleibo Lamadrega, some, that they weren't able to reach their Madrega, Rak Aidehan Hogazu, just by living this way. Amaskil Yoven Me'atzmo, Godol Milas Han Hogazu. And a person who is wise will understand on his own. I don't have to explain, but will understand on his own how great this is. Ha'ilu l'maylu l'maylu. Higher and higher. V'dava ha'shava l'chol nefesh. And this works for every single person, every single Jew. Mikotin v'ad gadol. From the smallest and simplest person to the greatest person. Ki kulam yichaylem linhoik hanhagazu. Everybody can live this way. Asher sheyachis b'zeh, fortunate is the one who takes hold of this eitzah. Gam toiv lasas mehatorah tefillin. This is a whole other inyan. Again, everything here we're going to learn a lot more about. This is something that I've spoken about over the years, much more with people individually and privately, but even Barabbam, Rabbi Nachman is very strong. This is a very, very big chiddush of Rabbi Nachman. Lasas me'atorah tefillin. That when you learn something, whatever Torah you're learning, you try to convert that Torah that you've learned into davening, into tefillin. You make the Torah into tefillin. Of course, you have the halukut tefillin. And then many other tzaddikim after Rabbi Nosson tefillin, to take the Torah and to make that Torah into tefillin. That is what is connecting the mind and the heart. To take something that one learned, and you understand this, you're trying to understand this, and then you beg Hashem to help you to incorporate this that you're learning, to bring this into your life, and to live this way, and all the different parts. You look and look at the tefillin, every tefillin. Gam toiv lasas me'atorah tefillin. Rabbi Nosson wrote a lot about this. To make the Torah into tefillin. Da'inu kishaloimeid, that when you learn something, you hear, or you hear something from a true tzaddik, asayasim is a tefillah. Take some time and write a tefillah. Compose a tefillah. Record, compose, write a tefillah. Tain levakesh leschanen lefanav yisbarach, to beg Hashem, al kol ma shenem Hashem ba'is ha'maimah, to beg Hashem regarding what you were learning in this Torah that you learned, mosa yizke gam hu lovel kolze. When will I be Zarech Hashem to come to this madrega, that it shouldn't be only something that I learn, but it should be something that I live this way and I can actually become this kind of a person? We all learn so many Torahs over the years, so many Torahs, but they don't become necessarily part of our lives. To bring them into our lives is to tefillin. V'kamu rochek mizeh, I'm so far from this Hashem. Even though I'm learning it and I understand it and I appreciate it, but I'm not at all this person. That you ask Hashem, you beg Hashem that you should be zochet to come to everything that you learned in this maim. Can you imagine if we would just learn, okay, from last week's parsha, Kedoshim Tiyu Ki Kadoshim Yashem. Just if you would learn, if you would take the words Kedoshim Tiyu, and you would learn Rashi and the Ramban, and you would make that into a tefillin. It's a kedushin to you. Otherwise, kedusha is something that's just—it's for other people, not for you. There's a funny guy. I remember he was saying something kedushim, and he said, like you sing "Happy Birthday" to you, he says kedushim to you, kedushim to you, kedushim to you. You can also be a kedush. When you read in the Chumash, it's like a speech. Moshe Rabbeinu gets up in front of everybody, call a das b'nei, so Moshe gets up and he says, Kedoshim Tiyu, and you learn it, it's the, whatever, the 30th, 50th, 100,000th time you learn Kedoshim Tiyu, you read Rashi, you read the Ramban, there's no Shaychus to you, you just read it again, you just went through your head again, for the 1,000th time, what that means Kedoshim to you, what the Rashi says, and what the Ramban says, and even if you look a little bit in the Svarma Kedoshim, you see what it says in the Svarma Kedoshim, what it means Kedoshim, Yochol Kamoini, I mean, the things it says in the, And then you go and it's Pashas Kedoshim ends, and then he has a nice word, look for Pashas Emor, it's another Pashas. So then you read again, Pashas Emor, and yeah, Emor Vamart, Lahazak Gedolim Ketanim, and you, Lahazak Gedolim Ketanim, it's all talking about Rabbi Shimon Baichai, the Zohar Kodesh, the whole Rashi, the whole Pasuk. But you learn it, and you hear it, and then you just go right, and it becomes the Parsha of the week, the Parsha of the week. And if you put enough of them together, you could write a book on the Parsha, you can make a website on your explanations of the parsha. No. The Rosh Hashanah wants us to live that way. When he said Kadoshim to you, he said Kadoshim to you. He was saying, I want you to be a Kaddish. Without tefillah, we have nothing in this world. We have nothing in our lives without davening. Nothing. It looks like we have things, but we don't have them. Without davening, there's nothing. That's why nothing in the world could happen. Like Rashi brings at the beginning of Chumash. Chazal tells him, he says, man wasn't there to daven. So the grass couldn't even come up. Nothing could happen. And even though we see things that happen without davening, it's not real, it's not lasting. It's only for davening. So you learn Torah and you don't daven it. So you say over something, first of all, you don't remember it. Just for remembering it, if you daven, you remember it much better when you daven for that Torah. Can you imagine if we had, for every year you learn Parshas HaShavua, and you have a project, you take Parshas Emor, or whatever the Parsha is, you take that Parsha, and you learn through the Parsha, and every now and then in the Parsha, there's a particular pasuk that you find is very chashiv to you, it means more to you, something to you. You look at Rashi, and you write down, maybe you see a vart from some tzaddik, a sefer, and you write it down. Imagine what it would be like if over the years we would have those pages, and then connected to each of those pages, we would have a few sentences of tefillah, of tefillah. And then the next year you take it out, it comes again, you come to Parshas Emor, and you take it out and you look at this and you start davening for that again. And you have these pages and it becomes a journal of your tefillahs, of the Torahs that you love, and you don't go around showing this to people and telling this to people. The second you start that, it's already finished, so follow. You don't start making a show of it. You have your own private journal of Torah that means a lot to you, that you learned something, you heard a shiur, you heard a tape or something, you heard a shiur, you heard a story, you heard a vart. And you don't just leave it like that. Ah, it's nice. You write it down. And you don't just write it down. You write it down, and then you compose a little tefillah for 2 minutes, for a minute. You compose a little tefillah. And if you could write it down, matov manoy, you could write down the tefillah. And if you want to put that tefillah to a little bit of a niggun, it makes it even better. You take a niggun that you like, and you put your tefillah into a niggun. It doesn't have to go so good. Most of the niggun don't go so good either. You make it into a niggun. You make it into a niggun. Over the years, you put together your own lekutei tefillahs, your own siddur, your own tehillim. It's not just David HaMelech. David HaMelech is teaching us how we should live. That we live in such a way that whatever I'm going through in life, I put into tefillah. Everything I'm going through in life, I put into tefillah. And when I'm learning something, I put into davening. Everything I put into tefillah.
So
I'm not spelling out everything to you. You're a smart person. Think more about this, and you'll figure out ways to build upon what I'm saying. In such a way that all of your words should be divrei chen. B'tainus nachonus. To appease Hashem, to get closer to Hashem, that He should bring you closer to Him, to serving Him in a way that's true, that's real. And especially this Eitzah of making the Torah into Tefillah, which is a Chiddush, Rabbi Nachman, it's a big Chiddush. This is from this type of Avodah, there is Shashum, Hashem has tremendous pleasure and delight. Shashum gedolah ma'od l'malah, when a Jew lives this way. So the Mechaber Rav Carmel writes, going back on some of these words from Rabbi Nachman, Hayazabaydus himayle al yon gedolah min hakol. So Rabbi Nachman said a strong thing. He said that his baydus is a mayle al yona min hakol. It's higher than everything. Claimer, Atza says baydus he al yona mikol ha'etzis and mitzos. This is stronger than all of the ages that we have in this world. Stronger than learning. Stronger than all different ages that we have. Shetachlisim lezakech eschumiyus adam. Because what's the tachlis of all the eitzes? The tachlis is, of all the eitzes, how does a person get close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? The avodah is decreasing one's attachment to the guf, which is all malim or master, which is all concealing and hiding Hashem, and uncovering the neshama. That's the tachlis of all the eitzes. Lezakech haschumiyus, to refine our physical lives. Lezakech haschumiyus adam, ulenatkei mehevlei olam hazeh, to separate the person from all of the distractions, the silliness of this world. La'atzilo mi'etzahar, which is mislabesh in chumiyus, in physical things, to save the person from the etzahar. All the eitzes are about. That's all the eitzes are about. L'karav al Hashem Yisbarach, and to bring him closer to Hashem. L'karav b'tzon b'lev shalom, to serve Hashem with the whole heart. So that all of the eitzes are for this. So his boldness, he says, is gedolah min hakol. Umadu, why? Why is it gedolah min hakol? Kizoisi eitzah klolus. Rabbi Nachman answered. He said, because his boldness is an eitzah klolus. It's an all-encompassing, all-inclusive. What do they say, like in the store, one-stop shopping, right? Like one, something like that. Yeah, one-stop shop. Once that, you know, it used to be that when years ago. So you wanted to get some, you wanted to get a mezonos, you had to go to the bakery. You wanted to get fish, you had to go to the fish store. That's how I grew up. My mother sent me to Main Street in Queens. And I had to go from one store, and every store there was a line. And you had to go from one store to the other store. Over the years, now I'm not saying this how this works for all those little stores. I hope everybody worked things out. But over the years, they have bigger stores. And in the store, they have a place for mezonos. There's a place for the fish. It's a big store, and it has for everything. So Rabbi Nachman says that the same way that he had the tikkun klali, kedusha, that inyan of tikkun klali, which we're going to talk about, mitzvah shah. One Chabus Yosef Tzadik mostly, but here also a little bit. In with all of the eitzes that, so every single eitz, you go to a different store. This one is selling here. This is with Tyra. This is through Tikkun Hamid. This is all every store, and they're all gewaldige stores, they're fantastic stores, and they're selling terrific schar. All the stores have fantastic schar, but they're all different stores. Now, Rabbi Nachman says, I'm showing you how to open up a big grocery. And in this grocery, this like a mega store, right? There's a lotion like that. Mm-hmm. In this big mega store, it's a mall. It's not even, because a mall has different stores. It's this big one store. And in this store, that's called Hezbardus, can kaif in alles. Everything. You could buy over here, everything you could buy in this store. Your Shemayim, Musar, Chsidus, Kibra of the Aim, Kedusha, Vosev is in this store. Hakol. Hakol, like so they call it, they go kolbo, right? It's a kolbo. Hakol kat. Everything is here. Umadua. So Rabbi Nachman says, Kizos he ate a klolos. Shakol hakol. Kalkol masha yachsel b'avodas Hashem. Because whatever it is you're missing in avodas Hashem. All those things, are just some of them that I was just mentioning. Whatever it is you're missing. You have a problem with your meters. You get angry. So you have a problem with cars. And you went out and you bought all the latest books on cars. You went to the store, you got, even in English, you got all the latest books on anger. How to control anger. And they're good. And all of them have their chazals and from different Musa Sfarim and Chassidus Sfarim. It's all good stuff. It has all of these from different places. It has all of, and you bought your new book on cars. It's wonderful. You have to understand it to learn. Sof kol sof, the tikkun of that inyan of kas, without davening, it's not going to happen. The tikkun haklali is tefillah. So you could learn the book on kas, and you become an expert in kas. Akadei kach, that anybody challenges you, that you're not such a big expert, you might just get angry. Because you're such an expert in kas, you don't even want anybody to say, suggest it, you don't know everything about kas. So you're such a bal kas, you know everything about kas. And That doesn't mean that you don't get angry. It doesn't mean, like I told you, back in Yeshiva, there was this guy that was walking around the whole year with the Chavetz Chaim, Shemesh Alosh, and everything. You couldn't talk to the guy. Everything he said, no. And he would open up to the page and say, that's Lashon Hara, that's Rechilus, that's Avak Lashon Hara. He was like all year long with this. And then we were away for Pesach. Not back in America, just in Eretz Yisrael, we went away for Pesach. In those years, he didn't come back to America. And we came back the first day after Pesach, we come back to Yeshiva, and he's talking at lunch like a prost Lashon Hara, deraisa, not a drabbanan, not an avak, a deraisa Lashon Hara. And like everybody at the table looked at him, you know, what happened? Like we all looked at him. He said, no, that was the last month. He said, oh, now I'm working on, I don't remember, like Kass, and I'm working on something else. That was the first month. You go like that your whole life. Now I'm majoring in Kass. I'm majoring in Lashon Hara. But to be koine, to acquire, that's what Rabbi Nachman said, that if you talk to the big tzaddikim, you talk to the Chavetz Chaim, you talk to Chassam Sofer, it doesn't make a difference, Chassidisha, Litvisha, Svadisha, all the big tzaddikim, they were koine, their milas, their madregas, they were koine, their madregas through tefillah, through davening. That's how they koine, their madregas. That's how they became one with those limudim. It became their lives. It's through davening. Without davening, it doesn't happen. Gizay seitzer klolis shukalav kol ki al kol ma sheyechsel b'vodas Hashem umarochik lagami mikol v'akol mevodas Yisbar. You're far, far from mevodas Yisbar. Again, so you could buy some kind of a great book that has an introduction to Yiddishkeit. Or let's say you're very, very far from Hashem, so you could get some sefer you heard is fantastic, or some shiurim to go to or to listen to, and it's all good. And we should do all that stuff. We should learn all this from. We should go to all the shiurim. But at the end, the eitzah of how to change your life, the eitzah is through davening. Through davening. Therefore, all of us have met in our lives people who are not particularly educated, but they're such yiras shamayim. And if you dig deep in them, it's davening. They're not. They don't know so much. They don't know all the rules like this and like that. But the davening is very, very strong. The people, I grew up, mom was surrounded by Jews like this that they didn't have a chance to go to yeshiva, and they didn't really know anything. But they knew very, very little. But you saw such an eilichkeit. You saw in everything how they lived. There was such a yeshamayim and eilichkeit. Those were people that were daveners. They're daveners. That doesn't mean that they knew about his brothers necessarily either, but they were daveners. They were daveners. My mother, she should be well. She's every day with the tilim also. Tilim and more tilim and davening. And then when she's not davening, so then she's talking to Hashem. Also, she says things just in her own way. And it's a certain way that Jews, for thousands of years, Jews lived. It was a different poshet that without tefillah, there's nothing. Without davening, there's nothing. And that doesn't mean beer hatfil, you understand? It doesn't mean that you have a new pshat in harayitza b'shuv. You have a new pshat in davening. Or some interesting concept. Again, that's all nice too. I like that. That's all interesting. But that's not the, what the Rabbi Nachman is talking about. It's istabchus nefesh. Ala kol yefarish sichosav yevakesh miti yisbar kanal. Because his brothers, he taught Hashem about all of these things, about everything. The Torah Zu, in this Torah, in Likutei Maran, in this Torah, Karlul Mavai Rabbeinu Kama Vakama Klalim Ba'atzis his brothers. So in this one Torah, in Chaf Hei, there are, Rabbi Nachman, off the bat you see, look, I don't know if it's on the next page, by me it's the next page, right away you see seven Nakudas of what his brothers is about. And throughout the Sefer, we're going to be going to each of these Nakudas. Right away, Aleph. This boy did levad becheder besoda. His brothers means by yourself, levad. Sometimes you can, but lechatchila levad in a room or in a field. Becheder lios bodeid mibnei adam, to be completely away, separated from people. Lios levad im Hashem, completely alone. Because nowadays it also means without any phones and stuff like that. Base. The faresh sichoso lifnei Hashem, to go into details, to explain what, to talk in detail about what's on your heart, what's in your heart. What are you thinking about? What do you have? L'sarei sichas. Don't just say a word or two. Go into it. Talk about it. Talk about it. Go into it. L'sarei sichas l'fnei Hashem. V'tainas v'amaslos. And if you have, you feel that you have, amaslos means excuses, you know, ways of explaining your behavior, why you did this. Talk about what's on your mind, what's in your heart. Tainas. If you have a taina, how could you expect this from me? I'm not able to go on with the situation that I'm in. I can't. Why have you brought me into this matzav that I'm in right now, in business or my marriage or my kid or whatever it is with this yetzara? How could you do this to me? Why? I don't. Tainas, talk. With the v'chein, v'ritzu yopius, but in a way that's v'chein. V'chein means with emuna, with emuna, with humility. V'ritzu, because you want to get close to him. Not to have a, you could have a tiny, and say, I'm finished with you, God forbid, I'm done with you, walk away. It's not that something a tiny. It's a tiny, let's say you have a husband and wife, and they had a big fight, And they didn't talk to each other. That's the worst thing. They didn't talk to each other, right? They're like at a standoff, not talking to each other. And then you have that the first, you have one that is the heroic one, and will start to talk. But the first dibur could be with a taina. Could be with a taina. It's much, much better than not talking. So they weren't talking to each other chas v'shalom for a day or two. They weren't talking to each other, whatever that is, and it's ice in such a way. And then one of them starts to, they're sitting there someplace and they're in this weird zone, and one of them starts to say, I really don't. I'm trying to understand like why you said that. I'm trying to understand why. So it comes like a taina, but really you understand. The person, the other one, the spouse might not at the moment might. Not understood. But anybody that's observing this on that side understands that what she's saying or he's saying is, I can't live like this. I can't live without you. That's what she's saying. It's a nice thing. Even though it comes b'tars taina, if she could really live without you, she would just say, this is the best thing that ever happened to me. I can't stand the guy. Finally, I don't have to talk to him. I'm done with him. It's a mechai. The next thing, call the chavak d'isha, we're finished. She's not saying that. What she's saying is, like, why... That's a tiny. She's saying it looks like it's a tiny, but what she really is saying, or if he's the one that starts, it's coming in the lavush of a tiny, but what the person is really saying is, I can't live without you, I can't go on living like this, it's terrible. I want to work this out. That's what that person is saying, even doesn't come in the words, but that's a tiny. Or he starts to make excuses. Silence, and he starts to say, so do you finally understand why I said that about your mother? You understand why now, right? You finally understand why. So looks, so she's going to think, oh, he's starting again, right? It's not. It comes that way. It's not nice. But Oymik, it's the person is saying, I want to work this out. I can't go on like this. This is bothering me. Otherwise, why do they have to talk? Who says they have to talk? They just go the rest of their lives, pass the ketchup, pass the salt, pass the charm. They don't have to get the conversation. Obviously, it's hurting. And each one wants to say something, but there's so much gaiva. There's so much gaiva that the other one has to start. The other one has to start. Now, the other one does start. But he's also in the sugya of gaiva, so he starts with a taina, you understand? So he's also with gaiva, so he has to start with a taina, which is oftentimes defending himself. He's defending himself with that taina. But whatever it is, because once they start lefaresh esichasam, and they start to talk real, then they can just cry and say, I'm sorry, and they can... And the whole thing is so silly. The whole argument is not an argument. Alach has kama v'kama, if it doesn't begin with a taina or an excuse, but it begins with divrei chein, pius, to try to talk in such a way. It teaches to speak to the students in such a way. it's just the opposite. They tell, the first thing you hear is that they tell these, when they go to these places to get instructions about how to teach. The first thing you tell them is, I've heard this 1,000 times, they tell them, you can't be nice until Hanukkah. You have to, yeah, or else they'll take advantage of you. Have you heard that before? You heard that, right? If you're a teacher, yeah, you can't, you have to start off very, very strong. To explain the churban that's happened, that's been taking place for so many years as a result of that limud of starting off in a strong way. There are other ways not to be taken advantage of. And when your students love you, when they love you, they'll behave. Don't behave. Baruch Hashem, when I was teaching in school, I had such a beautiful kesher with my talmidim, and I never once had to discipline. And we used to laugh and have a good time and joke and all kinds of milsa de bichusa. They were flying all over the place, but then I went, you know, enough. And I was back in the Gemara. If you have to be mean, if you have to be nasty, it means you lost everything. It's gone. You could talk diburim of chayin, diburim of ahava, and diburim of ritzui and pius, and then they'll tell you in the school, in the teacher's school, they'll say they're going to take advantage of you, they'll destroy you. There are aitzes. Davening is one of them also. There are aitzes. I had to deal with this. And by the way, it's a real thing. You find the most successful rebbeim, the most successful teachers, you'll find out that they daven for their talmidim and their talmidas. They daven for their students. They daven for them. They don't just teach them, they daven for them. That's not just somebody who is my student. That's somebody who is my part of my life, and you daven for that. You daven for that kid. You daven. It changes everything. You don't have to be strict. If you have to be strict in class, it's harder. There are differences with the house. I'm not going into that, but in class, if you have to punish all these things, it's bad. Honestly, I don't remember my father ever punishing us. My mother does sometimes. She did, but I don't remember my father ever. I never heard of one deeper from my father of, if you do this, you can't have that. I don't remember such a thing. My father ever spoke in these lashonos, these diburim, of threatening to take away. He never spoke that lashon. Maybe it was so much that my mother would do that. I don't know. My mother wasn't so much into it either, honestly. My father didn't like that. He didn't go for that stuff. But for my father, I never heard those diburim threaten. It was not with threats, intimidation and fear. It wasn't. I don't remember anything like that, ever feeling afraid or intimidated or something was going to be taken away from me. You know, you're not going to, you can't leave the room for the next 2 weeks or something. I don't know, such a thing. Gimel, levakesh leschanin b'lefnei Hashem yisbarach sheyikarvei lav la'avodah la'avodas ha'be'emes. Don't take anything for granted. We have to beg Hashem, ask Him that we should be bechent in His eyes, and He should want to draw us close to Him, to bring us close to Him. Dalit, eskola asherim levavo yasiach v'yasapel lefanam yisbarach shvichas lev kamayim. Everything, even the bad things about yourself, even things that you're so embarrassed about, things that you never told anybody in your life, you're so embarrassed about, things that are horrible about yourself, anything, whatever it is, shvichas lev kamayim. Eshberch lefanam sichi shivchi kamayim libech. It's a nice song, but how many people actually do that? Hey, lasik b'charata v'losha b'tshuva. A big part of his bardos is tshuva. Charata, regret. Talk about Hashem, about the things that you feel bad about, that you regret. Things that you did to him. Things you did to other people that you regret. Lasik b'charata v'losha b'tshuva. Vav. Lahochin atzmai v'lamad l'fanav yisparach. You have to prepare yourself. To prepare yourself, lam in front of his book, to come to him. You know, you look in the swarm, you see the chassidim. I'm seeing that I was reading in the Sefer that in Chabad, in the old days, the chassidim, that before they would come to Yechidus or the Rebbe, they were fasting for a whole week. They would fast for a week. They would eat something at night. They were fasting for a week and finishing tilim every day. till they would come in for Yechidus to the Rebbe, till they would go to Yechidus. To make Hachanis. Okay, you can't live like that your whole life, but you understand, you're going to make Hachanis. Again, we're going to talk about all of these things. L'achin atzmoy, v'lamod l'fanu yisborach, to stand before him, v'yifin shechofes v'mishtokik l'dabim. Even just coming to the room, going out to that place, and being settled, and getting everything out of your mind, and being clean with all your stuff, the machine, everything is clean. Just making the hachana. Making the hachana. That itself, Rabbi Nachman taught us, that itself is a big thing. It's a big thing. You're coming and you're saying, look, I want to talk to you, I just don't know how. Even though I don't know what to say. Hachana b'fnei atzmo, Rabbi Nachman taught us in this Torah, that just getting ready and going there and making the time, Yidav atoy ma'ayid. It's a very, very good thing. Zayin. Last says mi Torah tefillah, to make the Torah into tefillah. Klaima kol dav shleima, that whenever you learn something new, yispalel tamid, you should daven, liskos l'kayim is mashalem. You daven d'Hashem, you should be zoichet to be able to be mekayim that which you learn. You should be able to mekayim in every way that which you learn. Okay, we'll go daven. So we'll finish the parak mitzvah next time.